Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Reign in Love Ministries. This is Tim, the overseer. Hopefully everything is going great for everyone listening and for everyone out there. This has been a great week. Amen. I've been blessed to get some things behind me spiritually, so looking forward to going deeper in the word and to bring more eschatology teachings to you. Amen. Been working on some things spiritually, so amen. Just continue to pray for one another. Amen. In this world and in these times, we know a lot of people are concerned, as you should be, especially those without faith, meaning that those without salvation. Amen. Once again, it is a blessing to be here. We'd like to thank Derek Oliver and the Chaos Radio team and the entire staffhood. Amen. That's everyone that comes on throughout the week to bring you a word, bring you a message of salvation and love and teaching from the Most High Holy Word. Amen. So, amen, we just want to make sure that we are praying for one another. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get started in today's message. Amen. And we're going to continue. I know about maybe a month ago I was talking about where are we, meaning that where are we in these times? Amen. We know that Paul sent a message to the churches, amen, that we are to watch for Christ and that we are to watch for the seasons that we are in. So we were dealing with where are we, amen, and I explained where we are. We believe we are right before the great tribulation kicks off, amen. Once again, the church will not be here, despite what you may have been told, what you may have been taught, amen. The church won't be here. You do your own study and your research, amen, because we've concluded, according to the scripture, the Holy Word, amen, and the second book of Peter, the second Peter, amen. We may explore that verse today where he talks about, amen, that God knows how to preserve and protect the righteous, meaning that there's no need for us to be here, amen. There's something else that I want to share with you today, amen. I'm going to put a star on my notepad so I won't forget it, amen. So I'm going to share something with you according to the church in Revelation, again, showing you that the church will not be here. Amen. So stay tuned for that. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get ready. We're going to start out in Matthew's, the 24th chapter, verse 8 today. Again, we want to deal with where are we. Amen. So some things I want to share with you. But before we do, we want to go ahead and read Love by Paul, first coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Verse 31, this is what it says. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three, but the grace of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon the church, upon your children, the believers. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the rain. We thank you for the many blessings, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love, dear Heavenly Father. We come praising your holy name. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for your grace and your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Christ, his ultimate sacrifice. We come praying, Heavenly Father, that thy will be done in our lives, dear Heavenly Father. We come praying, Heavenly Father, that you bless more love and spiritual wisdom and knowledge, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for the church, dear Heavenly Father, as you get us ready to go home, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for those that are in the church, dear Heavenly Father, that they be warned, dear Heavenly Father, and that they receive salvation before it is too late. We come praying for the unbelievers, those that are in the world, dear Heavenly Father, that many more become saved, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right. With that being said, before I dive into the scriptures, amen, this is on my mind today. And I believe I must share this with you all. We know there's been some things going on in the world. There's a lot going on in the world. This is why it's important that if you're listening to this show, this message, that you continue to share it with someone, that people receive salvation before it's too late. There are so many young people that are leaving this world, that are so caught up, and I'm going to share something with you. Let me just go ahead and say this. Satan and the fallen angels, the demons, everybody that's on the side of Satan is working overtime and double time to deceive the world. They want as many people to go to the lake of fire. Amen. Great. Amen. The Bible says, when I think it's Matthew, I'm going to read it here in a little bit probably. Great is the path that leads to damnation. Amen. Hell shall enlarge itself. And it's enlarging itself every day. See, the more people fall away from Christ, fall away from church, that saying over in Thessalonians, I think it's 2 Thessalonians, you know how I am. I'm just trying not to take up too much time, but I just got to say this before I get into my study because I got quite a bit to share with you today. And so maybe I'll just continue it next week, but I got to share this with you. So I don't like just saying things without giving you scripture. So let's go there real quick. We got a little time. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I want to share something with you because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me today on the message and what I should preach and bring to you, the spiritual wisdom and knowledge. So 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, there you go, verse 3. This is a very popular verse. We all know about this. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. Paul, I always say that, man, I love Paul's letters. Paul writes so brilliantly that, man, if people can understand, I'm talking about just the church, just basic knowledge, you know, people should understand what Paul writes. There is just no way that the church does not understand, just a basic believer, I mean, with minimum Bible knowledge should understand. Paul writes so elementary, but so eloquently and so beautifully. It's like, man, this guy's flow is just like, man, you know, and an elementary student can understand what Paul, I hate to say it. I'm not trying to, you know, say anything about people who kind of struggle with the Bible, but you can understand the Bible just like anybody else. What Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means. The devil and his workers, his followers are working right now. Overtime and double time. This is why what Daniel prophesied in the book of Daniel, I think it's the 12th chapter, I think it's verse 4. It may be one of the latter verses. But anyway, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But he said that knowledge shall be in travel, shall be increased. And this is the time of the end. The reason why we know that, because it would have been impossible over 100 years ago for the Antichrist to spread his message to the entire planet. It would just take too long. We talked about before about how if we was to send a letter. I know we talked about that over the past year, about what Daniel processed. If we was to send a letter, if I was to send a letter, now my brother lives over in Florida, if I was to send him a letter, now we're talking about maybe at this day and time, because we have expedited mail, I can send it. If I pay, it'll get there overnight. But years ago, I know, like back when I was a kid in the 80s, when we used to write my grandmother and we used to write letters as kids, it would take weeks, if not months, for people to get letters and for them to respond back. So the message to reach the world and what's going to take place, in order for the world to see the Antichrist, we have to have the knowledge and the information and the form of travel. Word travels so fast. Now, that's what the Internet's for. You can look on at a video of someone who's making a live video around the planet, which that was not ever possible in the past 6,000 years to our knowledge. Nothing like that was ever possible. That's how we know that we are in the end. That's why we keep saying, hey, shaking you and waking up, say, hey, prepare for Christ's return. Christ is on his way back, and you better be ready. You better be getting yourself ready for the return of Christ. All that you didn't do before now, man, oh well. We are getting ready to go home as a church. You know, I know that people are pursuing, you know, these life adventures, you know, and I'm not saying not to, but you better make sure that you have Christ first in your life. You better make sure above all things that you are ready for Christ to return. And I was talking to this gentleman that he was a war veteran. He was just talking about the virus. He was saying back in the day when people took polio, when polio was a thing, people took the shot with no question. Hey, man, I was just thinking to myself, you know, just being respectful. You know, I kind of acknowledge the Holy Spirit, you know, what I believe, amen, that, you know, God's going to take care of me, amen. And I understand how some people feel when you walk around with no mask on or something like that, amen, because right now they have not made it mandatory. I've told you from the beginning, I don't too much care for this thing, and I already know what's behind it, amen. But I'm not saying for you not to get the shot. I'm not saying for you not to wear a mask. I'm not saying that. I'm saying as for me, amen, I walk with the Holy Spirit and I believe God, amen, will protect me. And if it's just your time, it's just your time. If it's just going to happen, it's just going to happen. But as long as I'm walking with the Spirit of God, I know that nothing's more powerful than the Holy Spirit. So to each his own on that. But the point that I want to make is what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, when he said, let no man deceive you by any means. The devil is deceiving people through social media, through so many false and fake religions. So I tell people all the time, you have to be careful who you listen to, because so many people will use the Bible, and because they know people are gullible, they know that more than 80% of the people who attend church will never read and study their Bible. And it's probably less than that now. You're probably talking about probably only 5 to 10% really study and read their Bible. Other people just take people's word for it. And this is why so many people are being deceived. This is why so many people are on their way to the lake of fire. This is why so many people will be left behind when Christ splits that sky. There's going to be so many people that's going to be in shock. Because you want to know why? They are not applying themselves according to the word. They're not teaching the rightfully divided word. That's why I say you have to be careful who you listen to. And this is what Paul said. Paul says, by any means, don't even just take my word for it. God give you the same thing he's given me. Study, read your Bible. Study to show thyself approved. That's not just meant for the overseers of the church, the leadership of the church. That's meant for the whole body of Christ. Is to study to show thyself approved. It is your job. You will stand before God one day for you, not for me, not your children, not your mom and your dad. You will stand before God one day and have to give an account. You need to be studying your Bible. And it's so shocking that so many people who attend church are just religious. Just religious. No Bible. They're more concerned about praise dances, how much money is coming to the church, the choir rehearsal. But you ask them anything about the Bible, about, you know, Bible study or anything like that, nothing. Wednesday night Bible study, nothing. No preparation, no study. But you get ready for your job. Your job gives you an assignment. You're all over that. You know, you're killing that for the world. But what this year, Bible says, only what you do for Christ shall last. And it shocks me that people are not prepared for their eternal state. See, everything that you do that's good and in love, according to salvation and righteousness, will be accounted for. That's going to be a reward that you will get reward on for all. You'll be rewarded for it for all eternity. And people are taking people are just like, and I hate to say this, but people in church are just so lazy that it's just, well, as long as I get in, what? You know, you study to show thyself approved. There are some things that we should do. We should learn the word. We should teach the word. We should share the word. The world will be a much better place with it. So I said part of that to say this, because I want to talk away about the falling away first. That interpretation, falling away, means apostasy. And this particular falling away in the Greek means to refuse or rebel. And I keep telling people that this doesn't mean that people who are saved are going to lose their salvation. This is not what this means. This means that the world is going to refuse and rebel against God, rebel against Christ. And we see that now. It used to be a time where you could witness to people. They would at least give an ear. People will rebel. I don't believe in that. I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't want you to talk to me about that. The world is in rebellion. And this new world religion is setting in. This new world so-called order, which they think is a new world order, is going to be cut short 7 years. See, the people who are unbelievers have no clue what's going on and what's about to hit this planet, what's about to go on. And those of you in the church, you should have been warned by your pastors, but I already know that over 90% to probably 95% or higher of the pastors in churches, I can sit and tell you right now, this is why there's a great falling away now. And even probably for the past 50-some years, you know, you don't have preachers preaching this and teaching this anymore. This is why there's such apostasy in the church. People are just going to church because they was raised in church. People are just going to church maybe because they don't fit in the world anymore. They're just going to church because it's the thing to do. But they're not picking up their Bible during the week. But they swerving and they love God. This is just the hard truth. You love God so much. But ask yourself, how much do you read and study your Bible? See, you can't be in church no 30, 40 years. You don't know anything about the Bible. It makes no sense. It's just not for me. This is for your soul. Paul said, work out your own soul salvation. So after I got saved, I went on a journey to learn the word of God so I can know how to live my life according to the scripture and how I can better myself. So when the Bible talks about perfection, it means maturity. Fullness of age is the interpretation in the Greek. Meaning maturity. See, as a person goes from a teenager to a young man in his 20s up to his 70s, that's called maturity. Maturity. You're maturing, and you don't do the things that you used to do. Like, I don't do the things I used to do when I was 19 years old, when I was 18 years old. There's just no way that my mentality, my mindset, where I am in my life today, that I could just be back in the 1990s. I have no desire to go back to that because I've matured to be a full-grown man. I'm constantly and continually growing and maturing. So it doesn't matter if Christ comes back this next second or he comes back not even in my lifetime. I'm still going to mature and read and study my Bible and grow spiritually because I realize and I understand that only what I do for Christ shall last for all eternity. I will be spiritually rewarded throughout eternity for what I do one time. And it's amazing that it's like when you preach and teach the people and you study, you might as well be speaking in another language to majority of the people in the church, and that's a sad thing. This is why Christ sent the warning to John to warn the seven churches that, hey, I am coming back and I have my reward with me. So many are not going to be rewarded. So many are going to be left behind. This is a very sad thing. And this is why I had to talk about this before I actually got it through what I really want to talk about today. But the Holy Spirit dealt with me. And let me go and share with you why I'm sharing this with you. Because today while I went to the grocery store in my neighborhood, I seen a gentleman that used to be a member of my dad's church. At first, I didn't see the guy. I walked right by him. I didn't even see him. You know, I was just being my own world sometimes. Didn't even, you know, just, and then he walked, you know, the guy walked by me. And he said, hey, don't I know you? It was funny. I was like, I turned around like, he said, I can't remember if he said you're a Jackson. I think that's what he said, you're a Jackson. He said, you're Reverend Jackson's son, Orange. I said, yeah. I said, then I realized, after looking at him, I remembered the guy. I said, yeah, I remember you. Now, I'm saying this to say this and making a strong point. Okay? This is so important that when we teach you, we're training you, that you do compare what you hear to whoever you're being, whoever you receive your messages from now. I've always done that. If I heard a preacher preach, if I felt some type of way about it, I'd go back and I'd research it on my own. And I would determine from that research if I need to be up under this person anymore, any longer. People are not doing that. People go to church because they like the way the church look. They like the way the pastor look. They like the way the first lady look. They like the way the pastor sound. He speaks so eloquently. The church choir is banging. The praise team is banging. Maybe certain people go to the church. Maybe famous people or stars go to church or wealthy, rich people. People go to churches for the wrong reason. That's the point that I'm making. People no longer go to church. This has been for many years, even before I was born. People stopped going to church for salvation and for deliverance a long time ago, probably back in since the 60s on back. Or should I say after the 60s. People go to church for attraction. They go to church for their own personal gain. Oh, there's a bunch of women. Oh, there's a bunch of men there. And don't get me wrong, while those are additives, which is kind of cool to go to church for whatever reason that you like or something has a draw and attract you, but please, hopefully your intent is salvation at the end of the day. The gentleman that I saw, when I saw his face, I was in shock because the guy used to be stocky. He was a well-known football player in the community. My brother played against him. My brother knew him. And it was a shock. The guy was so frail, so small. He reeked of alcohol. His eyes were bloodshot red. And I'm not judging. I'm just telling the truth. Like my dad said, it ain't wrong if it's the truth. And he had two cans of beers in his hand, about to go at it again. And I guess I was more in shock because I didn't really pay that much attention to it. I kind of walked up on him after he kind of realized who he was because I kind of walked back to him. That's when I began to smell the alcohol. But I was just like, wow, man, what happened to this guy? I remember this guy used to come to church all the time, and, you know, he was working on himself because he used to struggle with some things. And, you know, we all struggle with something. But he used to ask questions. He used to have a lot of questions. And so the point that I'm making is, keep searching. Don't give up until you find, because God knows your heart. The point that I'm making is salvation is deliverance. See, there's no such thing. That's why I tell people there's no such thing as I used to be saved. There is no such thing. Once you are saved for all eternity. And after that, the Holy Spirit cures you. That's when you know people are saved, because you see spiritual maturity. You see love. When you see a decline, it's like, wow, that's not salvation. That's not God. That's just being real. Something went wrong somewhere you never believed. But there is no excuse. The Bible says it itself. Paul wrote about it over in Romans, the first chapter. There is no excuse when you stand before God. You had the same opportunity that other people that went to church to ask questions. I asked questions when I first got saved. I used to listen to pastors. I'm like, because I used to always read the Bible when I first got saved. I grew up in a church. I would sporadically read the Bible, and I'd read it for a day or two, and I stopped. But once I got saved, I had a zeal. I had a desire to learn the Word of God. And that's what I did. And if a pastor started preaching some mess, I'm like, this is not even in the Bible. And these people are just sitting up here. He's going to be responsible for those souls. And those souls are going to be responsible for themselves to just sit there and continually, week in and week out, listen to this. And let's just go ahead and call it what it is. Listen to this foolishness. I will leave a church if I hear a pastor talk about something that makes absolutely no sense. If he's not preaching from this Bible and breaking down, rightly dividing the word, you'll get out of that church. Everybody that's standing up in the pulpit with a clean suit on, who look nice or speak, whatever it is that's got you mesmerized by this person, I don't care if it's a man or a woman, you need to leave and find you a Bible-teaching church. I've always said that. Why in the world would you allow your soul to step in my grandmother went to church. I grew up in this church. I don't care about you growing up in a church. If they're not rightly dividing the word, you get out of that church. If all they talk about is money and wealth, you need to get out of that church. If they're not talking about salvation, love, the cross, deliverance, the return of Christ, there's just certain things that the pastor got to hit on every now and then. He ain't got to preach it all the time. Don't get me wrong. I like to hear, you know, different messages too. But my gosh, we are so caught up into the wrong things when it comes to church. Yeah, I'm on my soapbox, and I got to be, because this is a message for and to someone. When I saw that guy today, I was just in shock. And then to hear the words he was using, like, that's not the same guy I remember back in the day. And you can see, you know, the Bible says that the devil wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to drain your very essence. He wants to drain whatever gift that you have. Anything, any potential that you have for Christ, he wants to take that away from you. And I tell people, even preachers and pastors, stop telling people that they can lose their salvation, because that's a pit from the, that's a lie from the lake of fire in the pits of hell. Because there is no such thing. Either you are saved or you're not saved. They never were saved. Because salvation does not turn to death. You may backslide, but God said, I'm married to the backslide. A backslide is somebody who made a mistake, but repented, come back to God. And that person begins to grow. So, you know, I'll never do that again. Or I won't do that again. We've all fallen short. I've fallen short of the glory of God. But I repent and I mature and I say, you know what, I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm not interested in living like that anymore. You have to grow. That's the Holy Spirit, is growth. When you see a person that's just, you know, just declining, that's not God. Now, people are stagnant in the church, meaning that they may get saved and won't do anything else. Just like I said, won't read the Bible. They're just going to just sit in the church. Doesn't mean that they're not saved. But they're definitely not going to go back to, like, going back to the clubs and going back to, I don't know, whatever they were doing before. And they just gone, not coming back to the church. No, that's death. They never were saved. And I've showed you scripture on that before. I'm not going to get into that today. But the point that I'm making was, that was just kind of disheartening to see. I hadn't seen the guy since I was like right out of high school. I was a young man. And like I said, he played football against one of my older brothers. And it was like, wow, this man, what happened to you? And it was sad. And all I could do is pray for him, you know, because he was on a mission to go do his thing. And so, you know, not judging, just speaking the truth. And I know some people say, well, how do you know he ain't saved? Well, again, he was really trying to find his way. And this, wow, it's amazing to say, about 30 years ago, when I was in high school, right out of high school, he was finding his way 30 years ago. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't decline. See, that's because the reason why people ask, and I'm going to say this, stupid questions, is because they don't read and study the Bible. That's why they ask stupid questions. Well, how do you know he ain't saved? See, that's because you don't study the Bible. See, I read and study and research the Bible. I research the word, what it means in the Hebrew and the Greek. It's the original term. It's the original word. What does this mean? See, you don't have a pastor that's teaching and preaching, you can get out of that church. You can stop listening to that pastor just because he's a motivational speaker. That's all people are listening to is a bunch of motivational speakers who quote Bible scriptures. The devil knows the Bible. Okay? The point that I'm making is when you become saved, you may stagnate. You may even stay in the same place, but you don't decline. It's not salvation. You don't have an interest in learning the word and you have questions. But see, this is why I teach salvation. This is why I tell you. See, and I said this before, especially this year because the Holy Spirit been dealing with me because I've been noticing something on social media that a lot of people have been talking about Christ coming back, Christ coming back. But nobody's telling people what they must do to be saved so that when he does come back, you can go with him. See, you just can't show up in church and just tote a Bible. That ain't salvation. Salvation is spiritual growth. It's love. And Christ even said it. You know, you have to, somebody was saying something about Christ wanting us to live by the commandments. I said, well, actually Christ said over in Matthew's, he said, love the Lord thy God with all the heart and all the mind, all the, you know, you know the same. Then he said, love thy neighbor, love thyself. So basically love God and love thy neighbor, love thyself. And he said, and hang all the laws and the prophets on these two. See, that's what I like about God. God makes things simple. He said, hang all the law of the prophet on these two. Basically, what he's saying is if you focus on loving God and loving your neighbors, you love yourself, you'll automatically fulfill the rest of the laws and the prophets. That's what Christ's point was. But you got so many pastors that teach you, oh, you can lose yourself. They're so religious. There's so much. And they never talk about what Christ said about love. They never talk about what Paul said about confess with thy mouth, believe in thy heart, and thou shalt be saved. Tell people what they must do to be saved. It's a shame I can walk into any church and teach a Sunday school lesson or an evening, a Bible study evening and ask people, okay, we're going to role play. I'm an unbeliever, you're a believer. How do I get saved? Oh, well, you got to do this. And somebody just tell you they don't know. What in the world? So we see why we are on the doorstep on the eve of Christ's return. We have to fall away in about that. Somebody says about it. No, it's already been happening. And it's probably been happening that way for the past 100 years. The fall away of the church has been happening. Right before I, and the sad thing about it, we couldn't see it. And you want to know why we couldn't see it? Because we are in the Laodicean church. We're in the wealthy church. We're in the church that has riches. We think it's called pastors can fly in jets and drive $200,000 cars and live in $1 million home. We think the church is doing it. We've been deceived. We've been duped. Hey, Malcolm X said we've been bamboozled. It's the truth. We've been lied to. We've been duped. The church is not doing all that you think it is just because the pastor has real estate or just because you got wealthy people in the church. The church is wealthier now more than it's ever been in the past 2,000 years. We are on the return of Christ, of Christ's return. And that should be the message. Not saying not to preach anything else, but we need to preach Christ's return. We need to warn the church. And I'm going to be praying for that brother, okay? Because, you know, he was on a mission. You know, obviously he was going to do his thing. It didn't look sober. It definitely didn't seem so by the way he was talking. And just, I'm gonna be praying for him. If you want to pray for him, pray for the brother. But I was just shocked to see that. But that's just proof of what I teach when I say once saved, always saved. This is just proof. It's like, man, you have to receive salvation. That is proof that people are in, everybody that's in church or have attended church or go to church is not saved. That's the point that I'm making. People are just attending church. Well, let's go ahead and get into our lesson for the day. Where are we? The continuation of where are we? And then we're gonna move on to some more teachings in eschatology. So let me open up my notes and my books. And what I want to deal with, amen, is Matthew's. I did say that. Matthew's, the 24th chapter, verse 8. And what I want to talk about is, I'm just going to mention verses 4 through 14 of Matthew, the 24th chapter, but I'm not going to discuss them. I'm just going to focus on verse 8 for right now. Because this, when Christ told his disciples this, verses 4 through 14 covers the church age going into the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. I've explained that before. How I came to that conclusion, I'll let you do your own study and research, okay? Now, this is what Christ talked about, okay? And I'll probably touch on it a little bit. So let's go ahead and read Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 8. It says, all these are the beginning of sorrows, okay? That word sorrow in the Greek means childbirth, pain, or pains, meaning pain, okay? So, again, this is how we know that this covered the church age going into the tribulation, because what Christ was saying was these things will happen throughout the church age, but they will begin to increase exponentially, getting closer to the Great Tribulation. Now, we know that the church being raptured, gathered together before the Great Tribulation kicks off the Great Tribulation. The church will not be here. This is why I say this covers the church age going into the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, why do you say the first 3.5 years tribulation? Because verse 15 talks about when ye therefore see the what? Abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. He's talking about who? The Antichrist. We know at the last 3.5 years, at the beginning of the last 3.5 years, what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to stand in the temple. Amen. Well, we know he's going to be murdered in the holy place. And so this covers the, and I'm going to read some more on that on Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 15. So we're talking about sorrows. And what I really want to focus on is the geographic disturbances that we've been noticing. And I can't recall, maybe you can, maybe you're a little older than me, I don't know. I just can't recall any time in my life that there's been so many geographic disturbances at one time. There's lots of floods. I talked to a gentleman that was from New York this past week, and that's what he was saying. He said he'd never seen like that in all his life. He lived in New York, and he was older than me. He said he'd never seen New York. He said, if there are places on the water in New York that have never been on the water. I thought that was strange because over in China is flooding, over in Europe is flooding. Then, you know, you got the hurricanes that kind of keep going on. We just had one here recently. And then there's another one over here. But okay, we got there's one in Florida because my brother lives in Florida. He mentioned one in Florida the other month. He said they were fine because they didn't get to them. But then there's another one in New Orleans just happened. We had one in Texas recently. And we had one bad here in Texas down in Houston. The Gulf, it was so bad that this is when all that controversy was going on with Joel Osteen, how he wouldn't let people come into his church. I know that was a huge thing. People was upset about that. But just things that are happening more frequent. These are signs. This tells us that the seasons that we're in, these are sorrows. And, you know, there are tornadoes in certain places. You know, in Texas, we have tornadoes pretty bad. And it's like, man, every time you look up, they keep talking about tornadoes. Now, I don't too much care for it because tornadoes tornadoes could be a bad thing because the warning with tornadoes is a short warning. It's kind of like when they're warning you, you only have a little bit of time to take cover. That's what I don't like about tornadoes. With floods, they probably can see the tropical storm coming. Earthquakes are more worse than tornadoes. Why? Because earthquakes have come with no warning. It's like your warning is it's happening. And I know that here in Haiti they had a pretty bad tornado, which was funny because some years back, after 2000, they had a very bad tornado kill. If I'm not mistaken, it killed tens of thousands of people, and I know that's a low number. But the point that I'm making is that we're beginning to see these geographic disturbances all too often. You know, you have to admit that something is going on and that we cannot ignore this. Now, I know some people say, well, man is behind some of these things. That could be a possibility. That's what I say about the pandemic. That's a possibility. See, what's predicted from the prophets and from Christ and from John is not exactly who's behind it, meaning that is it more natural? Is it more man-made? It doesn't really matter because we know that in some of these things that are going on, we know that the hand of Satan is behind it. So irregardless, these things were prophesied and talked about in the past about the things that are going to take place on this earth. And so we think about the sorrow of, you know, loved ones being in different places. I know over in Afghanistan, you know, what happened over there, that was bad. You know, I don't know if I hadn't watched the news, I don't know if they resolved that, but that's a very bad thing. And so we're seeing so much happening too often. It's like unrest. Last year we had civil unrest. We had the cop killings. You know, that keeps going on. People are rioting. And you know, I know that certain companies and entities had to shut down in communities and may never open again because of the fear of, well, if this happens again at any time, you know, this can disturb our business. And, you know, I don't know how that affects them as far as the insurance and stuff, but there's just so much going on that we just can't ignore these things, especially the geographic disturbances. And the reason that I say that is because we know that Revelation talks about a great earthquake that's going to take place. And so we also know about the water being turned to blood. There's not going to be any clean water to drink at some point. And, you know, if you don't have no water, you die. Plants die. You know, if there's no water. Now, will it rain? It's a possibility. But we also know about the angel that's going to scorch the earth. He's going to pour out that vial on the sun, and it's going to be so hot that if there was an attempt to rain, I mean, how are you going to store water? Would you be able to store water that when it gets so hot? I can't remember a time that it's been so hot and rain at the same time, and it very, very rarely happens. It can, but just a lot of things that's going on the planet, is just affecting us so many different ways. You think about global warming. That has to have an effect on some of this flooding. It has to, because it makes you wonder, why is it flooding overseas and then over here in the United States in certain places? Why is it flooding? And the only thing I can think of is global warming. I was watching this documentary, and it just showed how those glaciers of ice is just melting. It is just amazing. I'm like, this is really, really happening. And there's no way to reverse that. That's a scary thing, because if you can't reverse that, there's going to be a lot of places underwater. Especially the coastal lines are going to be definitely underwater. So that's going to be bad. It's going to force more people mainland or in mainland. We just don't know how bad this thing can get. This is why I say, you think about this stuff. I would definitely say that we are on the brink of Christ's return at any point. And this is why I told somebody the other day, it would be hard for me to imagine that this world would go another 50 to 100 years without Christ's return. I can't fathom. That's why it's either sometime soon, within a blink of an eye, to my lifetime, to before, if I live to see 75 years old. And probably a lot more soon. I just can't see it taking that long, given the thing, especially with global warming, because these corporations are not going to stop. These gases that's being pushed into the atmosphere that's warming the ozone. It's just burning the hole in the ozone. It's just messing up things. And so you think about that, and it's like, okay, what's going to happen? Because if you can't fix that, man can't fix that. Man can't fix global warming. It's too late. And it seems like, to me, they have no intent to stop it. Now, you already know that the governments of the world have already conspired and said there's too many people on the planet. So this is all working in their favor. So as long as people who got money can, in their opinion, ask the great minds of this world, well, what can we do to be safe, to miss the things that's coming? And that's all they're doing. They're preparing for self. They're not preparing for you or I. And I've told you before, we already know that who gets the worst of things? The poor. The poor and the middle class are going to get the worst of it, especially when the Great Tribulation kicks off. Man, if you are poor, oh, my gosh. Man, I tell people, you better get saved. You better get God in your life. That's the best thing to do. So if you ain't rich and wealthy, I'm talking about you got to have tens of millions. Because, man, to buy food is going to be so expensive for one day with the food. And I tell people, they're talking about famine and stuff now, man-made stuff. But the judgment of God is not going to have nothing to do with man. It's not going to be man. It's going to be judgment from God. And I tell people, this is a dress rehearsal. I told you this last year when this whole thing kicked off in this pandemic. When they start making it mandatory for you to wear a mask, I was in shock. First thing that came to my mind is that, oh, this is a dress rehearsal for the tribulation, for the mark of the beast. This is a rehearsal. That's all this is. They're rehearsing to see people's response, see how people are going to respond. Are they going to be okay with it? Are they going to rebel? Going to be a great rebellion? So far, people are on board, but people are not as on board with the vaccination shot as much as they are the mask, because the mask is something simple. You just put it on your face and it's not affecting you permanently. You put it on, you take it off, nor is it affecting you biologically. It doesn't affect your body to put on a mask, but if you put some type of vaccination in me, and I don't know what you're putting in me, that can affect me biologically. I don't know what you're putting in my body. Now, I gave you the example of the gentleman that I spoke to that is a war veteran. He said he remember a day and time when you went to any country, you had to get a shot with no question about it. And he said that when the polio thing happened back in the day, and I'm quite sure it hasn't been before my time because I can't recall that. I only think I was a kid. I think it must have happened back in the 50s or the 60s. I'm not really for sure, but it had to have been before my time. But he was just saying how people just complied. And I was just thinking to myself what he was saying, that, because, but I also understand the word. we're in a different time. And what I mean by that is that there's something going on. Because, again, as I said earlier, they didn't have the power to reach the entire world. See, if you would have gave everybody a decree, it's kind of hard to reach. It was hard for their power to reach the entire planet to make everybody comply. See, now you can see people complying. Like, I can get online and see people over in Asia and Africa, Europe, South America wearing masks. So you can see it now. Back then, you couldn't. There was no way for you to determine how you know if somebody that's somewhere far off is complying. Even now, it's still difficult because you got people living off in third world countries that live off in the jungle. Live off in the countryside. You don't know if they're getting this information. But now, because there's the ability to put up cell towers everywhere and making the technological world attractive, everybody wants cell phones. See, that's how they're able to see. Everybody bring everybody to speed. Everybody wants some type of device. They want to know what's going on in the world. They want to be able to keep up. Well, guess what? This is how they keep it up with you, because now they can see you, okay? So, this is a strange thing. We're in a different time. We have to be aware and pay attention to the things that are going on around us, especially as a church, as we continue to wake up the lost and those that are just attending the church that's lost. We want you to wake up and become saved. We don't want you to continue to be lost. We wish salvation on you. We want you to become saved. So you think about some of the things that are going on that Daniel said and that Christ said. We talk about the sorrows. This is just the beginning of sorrows. So meaning that when the Great Tribulation kicks off, it's just going to get worse. And we've seen it every year. It gets worse. More and more earthquakes. More and more forest fires, more and more flooding. This is just going to keep getting worse and worse. It's not going to get better. More and more viruses probably. You know, I'll never forget what this man told me when I was working at the bank. I was on the phone with him, and he was talking about his account. He just wanted to get out of the country. He was trying to get out of the country. He said, man, this is when the very first year, this was back in like March of 2020. He said, they're talking about this virus that you guys are talking about. He said, there are viruses over here in Asia that they're not even mentioning on the news that they're talking about over here. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, there's stuff over here that they ain't even telling you that's out. So now they're talking about the Delta virus, the coronavirus. They got others out there that they didn't even mention. So, again, these are what? The beginning of sorrow. So there's much more to come. But as I said, the church is going to be out of here. Before this thing gets horribly wicked, Christ is going to gather the church together. We'll be gone. And at that time, once the church is gone, the Holy Spirit is going to step back. He's not going to leave there. He's just going to step back. He's going to allow the Antichrist to come on the scene. He's going to allow Satan them to basically almost have their way with this plan, which they've been waiting to do for a very long time. Remember, God is always in control. It's going to be so bad that there's not words for us to describe. There's things that we don't even know is going to take place in that seven-year period. But Daniel said and Christ said, within that 7 years, it's going to be worse than all the past 6,000 years combined in that six-year period. There are going to be things that you can't even imagine. And one of the things that we talked about was about how the demons, those scorpions, are going to sting men for 5 months, and they can't die. That's like the walking dead. Revelation, the 9th chapter, verse 6. Let's go there real quick. I'm going to read that real quick. Revelation, the 9th chapter, verse 6. Verses 3 through 6. I'm sorry. Revelation 9, chapter verses 3 through 6. Let's see what it says. Because this tripped me out when I saw it, when I read it too. It says, when there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Lord have mercy. When I heard scorpions hurt, one of my older brothers said when he was young, he got stung by a scorpion. He said they hurt. And then he says, watch this, it says, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Who can imagine seeing such a thought? Do you think people commit suicide over stuff now? Can you imagine you keep getting stung by, bit by scorpions, and you just constant pain, just stung by scorpions? What do you think people are going to try to do? People are going to try to kill themselves. Because the Bible says it right here. It said that men shall what? Desire to die. And it says in those days men shall what? Seek death. Meaning that they want to kill themselves. They're going to be jumping in the water, trying to drown. They can't swim. They're blowing out their brain. It's going to be the night of the living dead. See, this stuff they show you on TV, they know something. When you see people, bodies, these dead zombie-looking people, body mangled, but their spirit is going to be still in their body. Their spirit's not going to leave. And their body, whatever they do to their body, however way they destroy their body, whether they put a gun to them, if they jump off a bed, however way they destroy their body, they got to live with that. If their body is mangled, they got to walk around and live with that. That is horrible. That is something unimaginable. That's why I said there are things going to happen in the 70th period. We're going to be gone. That you're going to be like, how in the world is this person still alive? We ain't never seen nothing like that. Or somebody could get hurt or killed. If their body's mangled, they're dead. But in this instance, for that 5 months, to me, the walking dead. They're going to be like walking zombies. They're not going to die. Death is going to be like, nope, I can't help you. And you know how death is. Death is hungry for spirits and souls. But not for this 5 months. This is going to be torture. And so, again, this dress rehearsal that we're in, you know, I saw something the other day, and they keep talking about it. They're not talking about it for nothing, talking about, well, in order for you to buy a shop at certain places, you got to have the shop. So there are going to be certain stores possibly pretty soon going to say, hey, if you don't have a shop, you can't even come in and do business with us. So there are jobs, companies that are saying the same thing. Hey, if you don't get a shop, you can no longer work for us, or you can't work for us. Again, this is a dress rehearsal. I saw this coming last year when they said you got to have a mask on in order to come in the store, shop, and buy. Or I'm like, this sounds just like the mark. Now, this is not the mark. Let's make that perfectly clear. Because you got some folks talking about, is this the mark? I had a friend that asked me that about a month ago, and I had to just you know, spiritually educate him, though, bro, this is not the mark. Good question, though. It's not the mark. He also wants to know, is it possible for us to take the mark of the beast and not know? I said, no, God doesn't work like that. God wouldn't allow that. God's a God of understanding. You're going to know that you're going to accept the mark of the beast. There's not going to be any ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's not going to be any questions about it. You're going to know if you accept the mark of the beast. There's no question about that. You're gonna know what's going on. And you have to understand, these are people, and basically what I'm saying is that us as believers, let's say hypothetically, this is only hypothetically speaking, let's say if it was possible for the church to be here during the Great Tribulation, those of us that are saved know what the mark is. Okay? And there's no way that we know that there's no way that we're taking the mark. Regardless of what happened to us, our family, our level, we're not taking the mark. We already know what the Bible says. If we was to take the mark, then we'd go to the lake of fire. And see, that's another thing. That would contradict the interpretation of Scripture of being saved. So if I'm saved, and if a person was to decide to take it, because, again, you can't prepare for what's coming. What's coming is going to be so horrible on this planet. You can't prepare for it. There's no preparation. You can't prepare for starving and your wife and kids are starving. You have no way to feed them. You can't prepare for that. Even the people who got all this food stored and bought all this water, they're not prepared for what's about to happen. Because you got to understand, people are going to be lawless. There's going to be unrest. Children are going to be gone. And we talk about how the church is going to be out of here. People are going to be killing like nothing. That's why people get gathering up all these bullets. And you understand, those that are in poverty probably going to be grossly outnumbered those that have. So what do you think they're going to try to do? People are going to try to come together and rob and steal from those that have. If there's not enough military and police force, because remember, there's going to be potentially war going on at that time, World War III. So people are trying to rob you. So the police and the military don't have time to come out and try to come protect you. Their population is going to be dwindling from earthquakes, pestilence, famines. People are going to be dying left and right. So you think they're going to have enough? So the only people going to really probably be protected is who? The wealth. The wealthy people will be probably the only people during this time is going to be protected because they got money to be protected. It's not going to be any more serve and protect just because. No. They hardly do that now. It's going to be serve and protect because you got money. You know how people have bodyguards? Because they're going to be able to afford to take care of people in their family. Hey, you can protect me and my family, we'll make sure you got a little food. And they're going to run out eventually. It's going to be a horrible time. You're not going to be able to prepare for what's coming. We talked about Revelation, the 6th chapter, verses 5 and 6. The cause of starvation, war. The war is going to cause a lot of starvation. You're going to have a lack of manpower to go to work. Cannibalism. We hadn't really thought about that. Cannibalism, I thought about that. And I know that me and the pastor talked about it. That's the Elder Bazaar. You know, we talked about that. Because you think about it, if you ain't no food, what you going to do? You may grab a dog. So I'm just being real. I know it's a little graphic, a rat or something. I'm just saying. People are so used to eating and consuming meat. People are going to want that. You know, I talk to people about being a vegetarian all the time, and they laugh like it's a joke. And like, man, I got to have my meat. So, okay, you got to have your meat. Well, I hope you get saved so you won't be here, because during this time period, it's going to be bad. So you'll see dogs and animals disappearing like, look, people are going to be hungry. You're going to be able to afford nothing. And after they eat up all the animals, and the animals are going to be starving. They're going to be dying. There's going to be no food for them to eat. They're going to be dying and starving too. So now you're going to have a lack of animals. So you're going to be eating that. So then it's going to be cannibalism. You're going to see people eat that. It's just going to be, it's serious. Man, it's going to be sick. To say the least, it's going to be sick during the Great Tribulation. And I don't see how a person would even want to consider being here. They can handle that. And I talk to people sometimes, people take it as a joke. Oh, hey, man, you don't have a, I'll deal with it. I'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll deal with it. You can't deal with this. You won't be all right. You're going to go insane. People are going to be going insane. You think all this stuff is going on, this pandemic, this stuff we're dealing with now, this is nothing compared to what's coming. This is a cake and ice cream walk compared to what's coming. Let's just be real. Okay, so let's take a look at Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew real quick. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 24. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets." Now, understand, this is why I say Matthew, the 24th chapter, deals with the 2,000 years of the church age and also the tribulation. Because we know there are false Christ now, meaning that there's false believers, false Christianity, false teaching, but they use the Bible. That's happening now. False prophets is happening now, before the tribulation. But then the tribulation is going to be worse. You know, so many false, fake religions that people are going to be falling for. You know, your one-world religious church, your Babylonian church. And it says, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that's why I like the word, it says, if it were possible. Well, I say, when you say it ain't possible. But say, if it were possible, that what? They shall deceive the very elect, the very chosen. The very chosen could be persuaded, be deceived. So can you imagine the people that have no spiritual training, have no spiritual guidance, how many people are going to be deceived? Now, they're going to have the 144,000 to preach the word, and they're going to be something that's going to be delivered. Amen. That's good. That's a great thing, because we don't want nobody lost. But mass majority of the world is going to be lost. It's going to be a sad time upon the earth. Christ even said, he said, if you have a baby in that time, man, you know, it's just kind of sad to think about it because, you know, people have the opportunity now. People have opportunity every day. My dad used to always say, if you have a breath in your body, you have the opportunity to get saved. And people just walk around just nonchalant, like they're going to live forever. You know, when you're young, you kind of have that mentality for the most part. Some of us, not all of us. Now, oh, I'm young, you know, I'm going to be around for a long. You don't know that. Your life can end the very next second or the next day. And so the best thing to do is when you have a chance, and I told y'all before, you know, I'm just a person, it don't take much to convince me. You know, when my convincing time came, I got saved. You know, sometimes some certain thing happens, you're like, well, your life flashes before your eyes. And like, oh, that's good enough for me, I'm getting saved. You know, my football coach used to, well, he used to say this, I don't know how much he was joking, but he used to say this when we was in the played football and sports in school. He said, you scared, join church. Amen. Well, thank God for church when you're scared. Amen. I was just one of the ones. It didn't take much. And you got some folks who, they have that non-live mentality. And I've seen people like that. And time will run out eventually. You know, you can't continue to play those games. I have a family member like that. You know, God's been so good so many times and times again. It's like, Lord, have mercy. And I sure hope you wake up before it's too late, brother, because you had many opportunities. And it amazes me that when people get so many opportunities, it's like, man, if that had been me back on the second and third one, that would have been nothing. I ain't trying to go no nine lives. That have been repented a long time ago. And some of us, it just doesn't take much for us to repent and just give our life to God. But some people are just, you know, they have a reprobate mind. They're just stubborn. You know? It just makes you wonder, Lord, God, how could that person be like that? You know? But anyway, great signs and wonders. I want to talk about that. Quite sure there are going to be so many different things that they're going to do. Rain fire down from heaven. They're going to be able to do some amazing things during this time. You know what this reminds me of when I think about great signs and wonders? It reminds me of Moses when he went back to Egypt before Pharaoh and his magician. And there are magicians and witches on this planet. You best be wizards. You best believe there are some people who could do some tricky stuff, like magicians. You see magicians, they do some tricky stuff like, that ain't real. You know, there are actual magicians that can do things that are kind of a little tricky. And we understand that they're using demons. Like, you see people who can move objects with their minds, they say. I don't know if that's really true or not, but it's a possibility that when we see people do that they just might be doing that. But, again, these are people who have ties to the demonic world, to the satanic world. You know, that's what they're using. Now, we in the church, we have no reason to use that stuff. you know, to trick people and stuff like that. If we were to do something, it would be for God. If we were to see somebody bring somebody back alive, that's for God to get the glory. We healing the sick and raising the dead, that's for God to get the glory. It ain't for me to sit and say, oh, look at me on TV or to make money off of. That's for God to get the glory. You know, we're bringing in more do you believe, remember that, to encourage salvation. So, again, great signs and wonders. We know that UFOs are signs and wonders in the air. People talk about UFOs all the time. That's a reality. I remember one time talking to this guy. He was saying something to the extent to where he didn't believe in UFOs or stuff like that or something he was saying. But I was like, you know, people are seeing these things for a reason. These things are happening in the sky. These things have always been around. You can see ancient monuments, even ancient paintings that kind of reference some type of machinery or something that resemble a UFO in the pictures, in the paintings. We see it on cavern walls and stuff. Where did they get this stuff? You know, these demonic beings have been here on the planet before and still visiting the planet. So we don't know what they're going to be doing in the tribulation to continue to deceive people. I remember this guy on YouTube. He said his dad worked for the government. I think his name was Bill Snyder. And he said that the government is hiding one of the greatest secrets from mankind is that they're going to have alien ships attack the planet in 2029. I said, that's a little ironic because we believe that Christ is to come back soon. That could be right at the very end of the Great Tribulation, which kind of leads me to my next thing, the war in heaven. We know that Lucifer is going to have war in heaven. He's going to be kicked down the earth. Okay? That's Revelation, the 12th chapter. Let's go ahead real quick and read that. We're talking about the signs and wonders. And so let's go over to Revelation real quick, and then we're going to finish up in Revelation. We're going to call it a day or a night, whichever one you want to say. Let's go over to Revelation. And I just want to look at a war in heaven, a Revelation, the 12th chapter. Verses 7 through 12. I think I got a little time to read. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So they're going to be cast down with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, amen, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Amen. I want to read that down to the 12th verse because it said a short time. We know that in Revelation when it talks about time, it refers to the time in the tribulation. So the last 3.5 years, Satan is going to be cast down. He's going to be on the earth. And we also know what's going to happen in Revelation 13 chapter, how he's going to also take over the Antichrist body. And so there's a lot of things that's going to happen that's going to be, which would be considered amazing to us, things that we haven't seen, because these things are not considered normal. To see that, you know, you're going to see like alien type ships. See, you don't know what they have that they're hiding from us. They've been working on this so-called technology for thousands and thousands of years. And the fallen angels of Lucifer, they have certain knowledge. Remember, they also took up the tree of knowledge. So they have certain knowledge that we are unaware of. So, again, I said it before. The devices that we have, the computers that we have, the phones, we think this is something. The cars, this is all nothing. You know, I remember watching a documentary where the scientists and archaeologists were saying that they had flying machines back thousands of years ago. Well, where did they get these flying machines from? Because we don't have them now. Yeah, that's how they were able to do things and look down and see the earth from the sky. They had these special machines that they would get in, and they were able to fly, but those machines have went away. So it's kind of like they want to dumb us down and not let us know what's going on to save these things to the time of the end. And so you think about what's going to take place at the very end. Remember I told you what that guy said. About there's supposed to be an alien war. Let's just say that an alien war where UFOs will be attacking the Earth. So again, man, it's a lot of. I'm just glad we're not going to be here for this. So I'm not excited to see any of it. They can have it. I told the Most High, I thank Him for keeping me from certain things in my life, and I'm not excited to see no UFO come down because I already know what's behind that. That's not of God. Anything that's not of God, I'm not interested in. Amen. So they can keep that. I'm not interested in seeing no little green man come out of no spaceship or purple or yellow, whatever color he's supposed to be. I'm not interested in that. That's your thing. Well, they got these people that actually are sending messages, they say, to space, or they just wait. I don't know if you remember. I think it was a movie. I want to say it was Independence Day. It's been so long, I could be wrong. Well, they were, like, supposed to be welcoming the people are so silly. They're supposed to be welcoming the aliens. Well, that's exactly how Satan is. Why do people serve the devil? The devil don't like you. He hates you. He don't even like himself. He couldn't possibly love himself because he would never rebel against God. He don't care about the angels that he's tricking to come with him. He don't care about them either. Satan is selfish. He cares about no one but himself. And he's supposed to every time, they bow down to Satan. Satan is going to... Man, Satan's going to torture you, and you're going to burn for all eternity with him. My gosh. You know, I really hate it for people who don't get saved, because even when you just don't, when you rebel and say, hey, you may not be the biggest devil, but you just don't want nothing to do with God, that's bad. You're still the enemy of God. And you mean to sit there and tell me you're willing to perish in the lake of fire for all eternity just because you want to say, oh, there's no God, or because you just don't want to, oh, there's just a fairy tale, or you just, I don't know, I just don't get it. I mean, you know, there is a God. You know, there's just no getting around it. The Bible says that God, he lets us know every day. You know, when you go out and you look at the sky, beautiful as the sky is, there is a God. You look at the greenery around the earth, there is a God. The sun, the moon, the stars, there is a God. Somebody powerful put that up there. You know, there's a video out there on YouTube that shows the different galaxies and universe, the different suns, and they show how tiny our universe is. Our universe almost seems like it's just a speck compared to this planet. That's how huge our universe is. And can you imagine how huge our God is to create such a thing? I can't wait to see God. I want to see this God that created me. I'm amazing. I'm not boasting or bragging on me. You're amazing. We are all amazing. We are all important is what I'm saying. We are made in His image. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Tim is – no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we are made in His image. That's what makes all of us special. So, yeah, I would love to see the God that created. Look at people's personality and how beautiful people's personalities are and how beautiful people could be. And so let me move on to that. The time's about out. But I just want to share that, man, God, this planet's so massive and beautiful. I would love to be God. I can't wait to see Him in Christ, the Holy Spirit. I just can't wait to be in heaven. It's going to be so beautiful, such a beautiful time. Time is running short. I may conclude some of this next week, or I just may just mention it real quick. We get the chance to read Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12. It talks about the principalities of spirits and high wicked places. You know, I just didn't understand that when I was young in the Bible when I first got saved. I'm like, what do they mean that? Because, you know, when you talk, say, we always thought the devil was down. I always thought he was in hell. Or like, if I always thought he was in hell, I'm like, ain't the devil in hell? How is he in the sky? How is he the prince of the earth? I never understood that. Like, I always thought Satan was down on the earth, and so I never knew where he was. But when they said that he's the prince of the earth, it makes sense. That he probably moves around, if he does visit Earth. I don't know how he operates, but he probably operates through spaceships, or maybe he's some type of spirit that, you know, it may, somehow, I don't know how he travels through the universe, or how he travels, or how he moves around. But it was always interesting when you read these scriptures. But again, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12, he's the prince of the air, wickedness in high places. So now it makes a lot of sense how demons and fallen angels, how they operate, and Satan himself. They operate through the universe above us, because we know he was kicked out of heaven, right? So he's no longer welcome back in heaven itself. So now he's in the universe, because there's three heavens. You have the sky, you have the stars, the sun, moon, the star, and then you have, as Paul said, where he is, the third heaven, which no man has ever been to, amen, not in the flesh, amen. Only Christ has been there, amen, in a glorified fleshly body. Amen. But John went there in the spirit. He said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So he went there in the spirit, not in his flesh. But his fleshly body was still in the Isle of Patmos. But his spirit, Christ brought him up to heaven and showed him the things which are to come, which is the warning that Christ gave to the church, which we are warning you to get ready for his return. Amen. So you think about that. The Battle of Armageddon. Amen. Which is important for us to know that the Battle of Armageddon is not, amen, World War III. People think Battle of Armageddon is not World War III. It's where the worldly armies, Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 16, are going to gather to try to battle against Christ. Ain't that a laugh? That's how you know people don't know anything about God. If we know anything, if we don't know anything else, we should know. We should never try to take on God, amen. You cannot defeat God. Amen. Satan can't defeat God. I don't know what he was thinking, but you cannot defeat God. Okay? But they're going to think in their little mind, whatever Satan's going to give them as far as technology and weaponry, in which they are hiding from us. We think guns and stuff is all there is. No. They have weaponry that would probably amaze you and I. And they're probably saving that. It's not going to do any good. Christ is going to wipe them out. In fact, Christ is so powerful, he don't even need us to battle with him. We're just going to be with him. We don't have to fight or nothing. Christ, he said, he's going to put all his enemies under his feet. He's going to defeat all of them. Satan's going to be cast into a pit. Him and the fallen angels for 1,000 years. That's a long time to be in prison. We think that that's, you know, you think just because they've been beings that have been free for we don't know how long, it doesn't matter. 1,000 years is still 1,000 years. So to be locked up for 1,000 years is a long time. To be in hell for 1,000 years, can you imagine the people who have died hundreds and thousands of years ago? They've been dead now longer than they've been alive, just suffering. Who would want that? Who would want that? You couldn't even take a day in hell, which would probably seem like forever. A few hours in hell would disturb you. You couldn't take that. Because there are things unseen and unknown and unheard that's disturbing. You couldn't handle it. Because why? The Bible says in the book of Jude, which is only one chapter, that the lake of that hell was reserved for Satan and his angels. It wasn't meant for man. It's not even meant for your mental capacity to even want to deal with that. So can you imagine how that's disturbing for people to be in this life one moment, to die and go to hell and be gone from this world the next minute, next split second, they're dead, they're gone. They know nothing that goes on the next split second on. You don't know nothing that's going on. The next minute, you don't know what your family's doing, your friends, your loved ones, your dog, your cat. You don't know nothing that's going on when you die. That's it. All you know is what you lived up to, and that's it. The next second, you don't know. Your life is gone. And however way you die, you don't know the people are gathered around you. You don't know what's going on. That's it. And then to be carried off by death to hell. Because in Revelation 6, John said he saw death and hell fall. So that lets you know that those that die, as soon as you die, death takes you right to hell. You're going straight to hell. It ain't no purgatory. Somebody says No, you're going straight to hell. You didn't live for God, so there's no second chance. You're going to hell. Your chance is now. So I guess you won't say earth is your purgatory. I guess that's the way you want to play. I don't even play those games. But that's it. Your chance is now. Don't wait the day of tomorrow, because I'm quite sure there's a lot of people that died yesterday, the day before, and all this past week, two, all this past year, a couple years. People in the past always thought the same thing. Oh, I got time. No, you don't know that. Time is not guaranteed. The next day is not promised to you. My days always said, the next day ain't promised to you. So get it right today, now. Receive salvation. How I become saved? Romans 10:9-10. Quote it. You ain't got to wait to go back to church. You ain't got to. You can do it now. You can do it on your own free time. But I encourage you to do it as soon as possible if you're not saved. And remember, you know if you're saved or not. Ain't no guess. I tell people there's no such thing as a maybe. No, once you're saved, you're saved. You know you're saved. Amen. So we'll be back on the air. Actually, we'll be back on the air tomorrow at 4 p.m. Central Time with Minister Elder Bazaar. I enjoy the brother. Amen. His word, his spiritual wisdom and knowledge that the Most High has given him. I thank God for him and allowing me to be on his show. Amen. I'm humbled by that. Amen. He's asked me to be on his show. I said, man, it's an honor for me to be on your show. Amen. So I'm grateful for the brother to be on his show. We will be on tomorrow, even if I'm not mistaken. I don't believe anything has changed. I know that I've been off on both shows last week. Amen. Had some things spiritually to take care of. Amen. Glad that I got it done. So I'm looking forward to the things in the future with God's word. But we'll be back on tomorrow evening or Central Time, 4 p.m. I will be back on next week going forward. So we'll be going forward, moving the word until either Christ calls us home or until Christ come back to get us. Amen. Either way it go, brother, we are here. Sisters, we are here to move the world. We are here for you. Amen. That's what I'm here for. I'm here for you. And I tell people all the time, amen, this don't belong to me. This belongs to God. He just give it to me to give it to you. So if you're a pastor, preacher, overseer, event, if you anyone that teach the word, teach it to the world. Take what you can and wake the church up, whether it be your family, your friends. I don't care. As long as you're teaching the truth and you're teaching the word, share with any and everybody, because again, it don't belong to me. It belongs to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm just a vessel ready to be used to show you love, to share the word with you. Amen. So with that being said, family, I'm about to get out of here. Family, remember, you are royalty. I am royalty. I love you. Be the Most High will. I'll be back on the air tomorrow and next week and going forward. Again, family, until he calls it home, until it's all said and done. Family, until next time, you have a blessed and wonderful week. Take care. Stay safe. You do what you need to do and what you feel is right to stay healthy and take care of yourself. If you feel like you need to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you feel like you need to get the shot, get the shot. I don't condemn nobody. I just say what I just do what I believe is best for me, and I live by the Holy Spirit. So, family, I love you. Take care. Be blessed. We'll see you next week, and we'll see you on tomorrow as well. God bless.